Podcasting 2.0 for January 29th, 2021, episode 22. This train is rolling. Down some imaginary tracks, like Ruby on Rails. It's Friday once again, time for a board meeting of the Podcast Index Podcasting 2.0 project. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas, and now the man who spends $16 to learn 64 new languages, Dave Jones.
I like it when you make developer jokes. That's good.
Well, you know, I'm basically a developer hag.
Yeah, that's like me making philosophy jokes.
Yes, precisely.
Yeah,
precisely.
I was in college. My short time that I spent in college, I was a philosophy major.
Oh, really?
I was. Yes.
How long did you last?
About 2 years.
Oh man, I did 3 months. That was it.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half longer than I expected to last, but I gave it a good. I have willpower.
I'm like, all right, I think I like the communication classes, I like the broadcast classes, and I'm like, but I'm already running the radio station, and everyone's running around smoking weed and drinking beer. I come from Amsterdam. I don't need this shit.
That was like a, you know, back when I was in school, that was like 94. And so that was going to be like I was a sysadmin already as a day job. And I was like, I'm not learning anything here that's going to help me put food on my table. And I've already got a wife and a kid coming. I'm like, it's not working.
Oh, man. Shotgun wedding, huh?
Yeah.
I heard about you boys down south.
Uh-huh. With the angry dad with the gun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's time for our board meeting. How are you, Dave? How was the week?
It's doing pretty good. It's a little busy, but it's doing fine. Has AP written an article yet about how podcasting allowed the GameStop thing to happen?
Well, I think the sequence is as follows. First, we have to determine that they were obviously alt-right, white nationalist, Nazi KKK quadroons, racists who voted for Donald Trump. Then we can say, and they have podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. And they self-radicalized.
That's right. Yeah, and they listen to the Orange Pill podcast with Max Kaiser, they're building secret systems with podcasting 2.0.
There's a tag for that.
They got tags.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna short GameStop with your tags.
So I made my developer joke about languages, but I think it's kind of a big deal. I think. You did something with language, which I just saw some responses from a couple of the developers. I'm like, okay, whatever you're doing here, it's good.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, you know, part of the issue that we've seen with the language stuff in the RSS is that not all the podcasts feeds specify the language element.
Ah.
And then if they do, they're not always accurate. And so I figured it's best to try, at the very beginning, when I was first designing the database, the table schema, I said, okay, there's going to be a language. I knew this was going to be an issue. There's going to be a language field. And then there's going to be a detected language field or language detected.
Uh-huh.
And so that language detected field in the newsfeeds table has been sitting there just unused for months now. And so I finally got around to doing the work to get it up, to get that thing rolling. And so there's going to be what it's doing right now is it's going through and it's just categorizing each language that it detects in the feed.
Uh-huh.
And so there'll be in the API responses in the future, once this process finishes, in API responses, there'll be both of those fields. There'll be a language and a detected language that's going to be returned.
Very nice. Yeah, maybe it was the international devs who were like, oh, this is nice, finally.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. So what prompted me to start to kind of pick this ball up was I've gotten like two or three emails over the last couple of months from people from other podcast platforms, not hosting platforms, but just like, guys that do audio work in the podcast world, and they have, and all three of them have asked me, has said, somebody told me about y'all's work, and I'm wondering how much data you have around languages in podcasts.
Huh.
And so, and I don't know why this is a thing right now. Somebody can enlighten me maybe, but it was enough of, I was like, well, everybody's asking about this. I mean, it's not got to be that hard. So I'm just going to do that. And then I'm going to dump out the next feed dump.
Well, this, let's look at it this way. Apple has different portals per country, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can see where someone presenting something in a different country might want to be able to highlight the language of that country, no matter what their project is.
I don't know. Do you remember the guy that gave us a list of podcasts from Kazakhstan?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I listened to all of them. They're great. They're groovy.
He was highlighting the issue with having, in Kazakhstan, they have...
funky-ass characters.
Well, no. He was saying that they had two primary languages. They had Kazakh and Russian. And so even though you have the same country, there's like two major languages spoken there.
So just so that a
podcast is from Kazakhstan doesn't mean it's going to be a particular language. So the language
is becomes pretty interesting. Critical. Or, whoever wants to pay us more, Putin, we'll just change the language. You guys can't have Kazakh.
oil money. I'm on oil.
Yeah, we'll take some of that.
Yeah. I've got two, and this is completely off topic, but I just heard this on the way home for lunch. The one phrase that irritates the hell out of me is, does that make sense?
Huh.
I don't know why.
I think I sometimes say that to you.
I say it too.
Oh.
I think that's what irritated me is I heard it and I was like, God, it's annoying. And I was like, wait, I did that this morning. I hate that I do that.
Why?
I don't
know. What's wrong with it? Does that make sense? I mean, that's asking someone for their opinion, for their input, for their.
I think it's filler. And it becomes like.
And I need to be efficient in my life. Damn it! I listen to podcasts at double speed. Get to the point, people. Tell me what you want.
It's as annoying to me as like far left, far right, mid, center, right, center, left.
Yeah, like, I hear you. Well, I have lots of things like that irritate me. Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, but the language
that's not important. That's not important right now.
No, it's just talking about language that brought that up in my head.
Yeah, I know. I'm just doing an important just because I like doing it that way.
I think we'll have a pretty good. Like I'm just watching. I've been going through there. And I've been spot checking. So like every, I don't know. I'll just eyeball it once in a, once every hour or so, and grab a couple of them and make sure that it's not detecting some crazy language.
Right.
That's not true. But it's pretty. It's been dead on accurate so far. Anyway, it's going. I think we're gonna have something pretty nice when it's finished. Cool.
I heard on Pod News, Cridland. He says 5% of all the feeds he has in his database are podcasting 2.0 compliant.
That seems low to me.
I don't know. Really? That actually have it? No, I don't know. Of all the podcasts?
Well, I mean, you've got, let's see.
Shit, I was happy with 5%. I'm like, okay, that's a real start.
Let me see. What? So, I mean, Buzzsprout themselves have 80-something thousand Podcast 2.0 enabled feeds.
Right. So what's 5% of 1.5? 300,000. No, that's too much. 30,000? No. No. I'm really bad at this. All right. So 10% would be 170,000. Right. That would be 10%. And 5% would be 35,000. So
75,000.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So it's just Buzzsprout. There you go. We've solved the riddle.
But see, that's the thing is it's not just Buzzsprout. It's also Fireside. And it's also, I don't.
Well, someone's jacking us with their numbers.
Yeah. Cridlin. What are you doing?
What are you doing, Cridlin? Get us some data. All right. Now, what this always does, you got to be careful because this will spawn five new threads, arguments from every hoster. About who has more
arguments.
Hosting
arguments.
Spats. Hey, congratulations to PodStation. Integrating that was cool. Value for value with the key send with streaming sats. Very cool. I have a lot of UX ideas, of course. And the minute I'm using it, I'm like, I'm not getting the satisfaction. Why am I not getting the satisfaction? It's because I'm not seeing a counter. You know, when you're in Sphinx chat, you see the sats go down every minute. And that's even not the way I want it. It's not as satisfying. But when I popped open the log, and for those who don't know, PodStation is a Chrome plugin. And it's lickety-split, very fast, and it's always there in my browser menu. So whenever I'm doing something in the studio, it's real easy. Like, pop, okay, I got this.
Lickety-split,
sorry. A boomer, yeah. boomer language.
my wife makes fun of me for saying Johnny on the spot.
So you pop open the log and you see the payments and you see it accruing the number of payments, and something about it was really exciting. And of course, I'm sitting there with with my own podcast. I'm looking at my own wallet, like, oh, there it goes. I'm paying myself. Oh, it's so cool. Oh, look at it coming.
You're gonna go blind.
That's right. Satoshi Nakamoto comes around and pokes your eyes out. Also, congrats to Podverse 3.0 in beta. Tried it out today on Graphene OS.
Yeah, it's because you're on Android. I got screwed because I can't. Yeah. Do it. I tried to install it, and he gave it to me and then jerked the rug out from under me.
What happened?
They said they're not ready for iOS yet. They're waiting on the App Store approval or something like that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, the Indian giver.
Oh, wow. Racist much, Dave Jones, man.
I'm sorry. He's an indigenous.
You sure you have young kids? I mean, how come they're not busting your ass on this kind of language?
Is Indian giver? Is that been taken away?
Oh, my God. No, yeah. Oh. I'm sure that's taken away. It implies that Native Americans are cheats.
You're a racist, too. It's not Native Americans. It's indigenous peoples.
Actually, American Indians is how they prefer to be called. I have on good authority.
Oh, okay. Well, we're all wrong.
Yeah, and everything I see is they like Washington Redskins. It's like, hey, we had a team, and no more. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I heard that, too. No team for you.
Yeah, shut up. But it's great. Real fast, real simple. They have the chapter images integrated, super slick, and it's on default, so when you're playing the episode, it shows you the time code from when to when. It'll display, and then it pops the next one. I didn't see any way to jump which tickled my fancy. I didn't see a way to get the full list of chapters to jump around, which is not how I want people to use it anyway, but that I couldn't find. And they don't have transcript in. They just ran out of screen real estate.
So you were happy for lack of a feature.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Groovy. If it's in there, keep it hidden. I don't want people jumping around.
Yeah.
But I love the transcript, and not so much because I need to see what's being said, but for the, like, what PodFriend has is, you know, you can search the transcript. You have, this is a major, major lifesaver. So often someone will say, or even I'm thinking, didn't we talk about that? Or more to the point, my co-host, John C. Dvorak, will say, nah, never said it. That's exactly how he sounds. That is a true representation.
Yes.
And so that I can at least find, if I kind of know the general episode, I can find stuff on bingit.io, which is our search engine that looks through the show notes. Okay, here's the topic. What episode was it? Go to the episode, click on the search, boom. And Tom Schuring, who's in Australia, I've known for decades, he's my official digital archivist, he's been backdating archives of all the shows. And so No Agenda specifically, he's been uploading them to otter.ai, and he's building a search engine of the entire transcripts of the show, which is now, 1,316 transcripts. So there's a lot of cool shit you can do. And what's cool about it is, you know, we have protocols, you know, we have SRT, and so it's easy to shuttle things around, and you know kind of what's expected, and more people can contribute to that work. Mm-hmm. It's I don't know, I find that incredibly useful, because the number one thing they say, yeah, it was on that show, and it's like 2 or 3 hours. Like, you're not going to go skipping around. It's easier to just type in some words and you're there.
If he needs my stop word list for the people search, I'll be glad to give it to him, because that can give you some real juice.
Ooh, well, I'm sure he listens, so I'm sure he'll.
Because I've been thinking about somebody sent me an email asking about just general episode search. Mm-hmm. And so once the person tag gets baked,
That's so good.
We'll be able to flip the person search to use the person tag.
Nice,
but then we still need like a general episode search. And so, like, I'll just turn the person search into a general episode search, because here's, like, I find myself searching using the person search, but just putting in other stuff that I know are not people's names, and it gives me a good you know, criteria, like a bunch of good results. So, like, things like the word podcasting is not in the stop word list, so I get that'll return,
right?
So I have to put in like podcasting LND or something like that, you know,
right?
You're gonna get some hits from with
things, sort of, sure, obscure. Yeah, yeah, I know, it's not sorcery, I understand, you can only do so much,
but it's helpful. Like, and so, like, if we had the general, what I'm doing is resisting the urge to go and put all that stuff in the Freedom Controller.
Yeah, and I'm going to try and help you resist. Yeah. What seems to me, you know, look, Apple is doing on-the-fly transcription, or at least they say they are. Everyone's going to be doing on-the-fly transcription so they can help you find shows. It seems to me that now that we have kind of a standard, and SRT is the one that I've seen applied the most, yeah, Daniel J, I hear you. It should all be JSON. I know. But we just happen to have this. It seems like such an opportunity for someone to create another project. That's not you and I, Dave. Another project, which is podcast transcripts. And you can just upload your transcripts, or it'll automatically pull in from your feed if you have them included, which is the way to go. And that will be a kick-ass search engine. Some search nuts. We'll have so much fun with that, like you. So that's why I'm really going to try and help you resist. They would have a lot of fun with that, because that is where all the juice is, man.
Well, like Pod. Okay, so here's an example. Here's something for Podverse, Mitch. Do the value blog, do the lightning stuff, because when you have clips,
mm-hmm.
that is a way to not only fund Podverse with your 1% off of that, but also to that's a money machine for podcasters, that if they have good content and that content gets clipped a lot. Mm-hmm. Think about me, you know, we've talked about before, like the clipping and sound bites and those kinds of things are like, they're like the hand claps on Medium.
Exactly, like hearts hand claps. Yep
But you get paid, but in this scenario you get paid for it.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, you're not just clicking a stupid icon on a website. You're actually, like, there's real value behind that.
Along those lines, just as a side note, you know, we were talking this morning, we had a Zoom call with the executive director of Ronald McDonald House Charities Central Texas, where Tina used to work.
Oh.
She was chief communications officer. And because of all the people that are moving to Austin, you know, we've got Oracle and Tesla and, you know, Apple people and Google and, you know, God knows what else, and basically California.
To your detriment.
Yeah, we have two of the best children pediatric surgeons in the United States, and so it's a very popular place to come to Austin, Dell Children's mainly. And the Ronald McDonald House, for those who don't know it, what they do is they offer rooms and, you know, kitchen and food and internet and, you know, computers, whatever you need, and privacy and all kinds of stuff. And a sense of community, really, at the house where you can stay. And there's no charge for anybody, whether you're a billionaire or off the street. And they, you know, they do suggest if you can, you know, toss us $40 a day. Anyway, so they need to add, they have 23 rooms now. They're going to add, I think, 65, and they need $30 million in the next 2 years, over the next 2 years. And I said, well, I promise you this. He said, I'm going to put you in my value block, and I'm going to set you up with a wallet. And, I know I'll know everybody there. So I'll set up the CFO. And you know, whenever someone listens to any of my shows, a piece of my action is going to go straight to you guys. And they're like, really? You can do that? I said, oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
And I thought, if you go to podcasterwallet.com in the future, just as an idea, this is not something we should do. I can easily see where there would be a box that said, hey, do you want to add something for a couple of charities? Or for a charity, you want to add one for your own charity, but we could have pre-populated nodes, yeah. Drop down.
That's a great idea.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's just like the checkout line at the grocery store.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's super cool. Like, okay, I see you're running McDonald House, and I raise you a Birmingham Civil Rights Institute.
I mean, when you start, exactly.
Because we went there on MLK Day. Like, I got that day off this year, and so on Martin Luther King's was his birthday, I guess. And Martin Luther King's birthday, we went. Me and my wife. My wife is very, she's very involved with civil rights activism and that kind of thing. So. She said, why don't we all go to the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute? Because I'd never been. She's been many times. And so, and this is a treasure that so few people know about. It's downtown. And so it's only just a few blocks away from me. We went and spent half a day there just going through it. And it's so good. It's just, it just chronicles all of Jim Crow and all the civil rights activism, because Birmingham, Alabama was just like
ground zero.
Oh, totally ground zero, and everything was
racist.
Yeah. We invented racism.
Yeah, you're very good at it. Yeah, and I love that you're now married to Melissa X. That makes it that much better.
Melissa X. I gotta tell her you said that.
Please do. Yeah, I love her.
But she's like, let's go. And so we went and we spent half the day. And I was thinking there, like, they go through all these, it's like room by room and you have narrators and that kind of thing. And I was thinking, man, it would be so good if this place had a podcast. Did a podcast. And right. I'm fired up now after hearing you talking about that to help them start a podcast and then put the value block in it.
Sure.
That's a funding. That's awesome.
And the more you think about digital money, the more excited you get. The more, and just even this very simple process that we've invented, and I'll say that we invent. Royalties aren't new, but this idea is, and the idea that you can change your royalties easily, your royalty structure. You could even do this with multi-sig wallets, so it can't change unless you have two or three or five of seven. I mean, there's so many different things you can do. It just is mind-boggling. And shout out to Ryan Gentry for mentioning us in the Lightning Labs newsletter. That was very cool.
That was a good blog post, man.
Yeah, our names are Adam Curry and Dave Jones, but otherwise, thanks, man.
Yeah, douche.
Thanks, Ryan. All right, we're going to get to our guests momentarily, who have been patiently waiting in the wings. I wonder what that's like. I mean, typically on a show, like, I guess they interview right away and they cut it in later, and we just force our guests to listen to our crap for 20 minutes.
It's building pent-up demand. So it unleashes creative energy.
It really does. And I can't wait to do some hot namespace talk with these two gents. We have the co-founders of RSS.com podcasting with us here on Podcasting 2.0. We have Alberto Betella and Ben Richardson. Gentlemen.
Hey, guys. Hello.
Did I pronounce that right, Alberto Betella?
That was perfect.
Alberto's from Italy, originally.
Yeah.
He's one of those radicals from... from Barcelona.
a mix of Italian and Spanish.
I mean, not Barcelona. What do I say? I'm really confused.
Your sister lives in Italy.
Catalonia.
Right?
Catalonia. That's what I was. That's what I wanted to say. Catalonia. Yeah. Yeah. Those guys.
Where's Willow?
She's in
Willow's in Italy.
Yeah. My sister is in Firenze.
Oh.
Do you know? All right. Now I have to ask. This will be great. Have you ever heard of Alessandro Pacci?
Oof, I don't think so.
Okay.
It seems like a common surname, but I don't.
Mm, he's a comedian, and I guess he did like some famous Italian movie that kids pass around about Pinocchio, only it's the X-rated version of Pinocchio. Does this ring a bell?
I heard something about that, but I never saw it.
See? I'm telling you, my boy is famous. It's the X-rated Pinocchio. Yeah.
The only thing you know about a culture that's not American Dutch is their porn.
It's not porn. It's like it's like Faces. Remember Faces of Death? And these guys are too young, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Faces of Death.
Big regret of my life.
Yeah, man. Like we had the VHS and it was the 20th copy, and some guys had a Betamax. It's better quality. And or Philips 2000. I had a copy on Philips 2000. That was the great system. And it was just all these horrible ways that people die, and you know, and everyone always was like, dude, wait for it. Wait until they eat the monkey brains at the end, you know. So
yeah, the guy got pulled. He got his arms and legs drawn and quartered. You know?
So cool,
man. Yeah. You just brought up some repressed memories.
Yeah, well, I need to loosen you guys up. Need to get you ready.
Yeah, and yeah, you had a buddy that's like, it's real, man. I swear it's all real.
Yeah.
So these guys are OG to the space and the industry. Alberto goes back to, almost the beginning, to 2004, 2005. Is that where you guys started out, or did you meet later on? What happened?
Oh, yeah. So 2005. We met in 2017.
Oh, crap. All right.
But then we go back a few years.
All right.
Yeah, Alberto's... he's OG in the sense that when he was doing, his master's thesis, his professor said, hey, I want to syndicate my lectures. Can you build me a podcast?
This is what I've been dreaming of. Yeah,
the bell.
Yeah. So 2005, he built that for his professor and then turned it into Podcast Generator and then put it open source because he's a very sharing guy. And so that's when he got started.
So the thesis, but Alberto, this thesis, I just got to read this title. Okay. From effective computing to empathic adaptive systems, inference and induction of emotion in ecologically valid context to foster novel paradigms of human computer interaction. Now, listen, that is clearly about sex robots.
That is so hot.
I
agree.
That's exactly the topic of the thesis. Did you read it?
No, I can't read it. I can't find it. It's locked behind a million academic journal paywalls.
No, but that thesis comes later. Actually, in 2005, I was still in Italy in the small university of Bergamo in the north, close to
Bergamo.
Milan.
Yeah.
And then my supervisor told me, why don't we do university podcasting? And I said, pod what? And then I searched and I found two names. I found Adam Carey and Dave Weiner.
No.
I said, okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's what podcasting is. And we launched an educational podcasting in the university in 2006. And the engine called Podcast Generator was released open source. And it's still alive today. It's a CMS for podcast publishing.
Aguri!
Thank you. Grazie.
Wow. And so is the RSS.com, is it based on that original code or just the whatever concepts, or how much of that is floating around legacy in your life?
So the first version, the MVP that we launched in early 2018, was based fully on Podcast Generator. Ben and I met before. And we said, okay, let's try to, maybe Ben, you can introduce how did you reach out to me?
Yeah. So, I was running RSS.com with a feed reader on top, based off of Ben Ubo's feed bin and swimming against the current, for RSS readers. But I kept getting customer support requests asking you know, how do I get my podcast feed? And I was like, what are these people? You know, maybe I need to, you know, satisfy some demand here. Maybe
Was already a company? You were already providing services?
Yeah, I had a feed reader on it. And, you know, it was a great product, but just not commercially viable in many respects. And so after a while, I thought I just should find a way to help people podcast. And I looked for, you know, something that was open source, immediately honed in on Podcast Generator. I read up on Alberto a little bit. I saw he spoke English, Italian, and Spanish, and I speak English, Italian, and Spanish. And so I sent him a quick note, just hoping somehow he would reach back out to me. And he did. He wrote back and said, let's talk. And he's like, a 3-letter domain, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that so is, it was, yes, it was enough. It was enough to pique his interest. And, you know, we just started talking about, you know, what it could be. And, you know, Alberto was the CTO of a successful mobile app at the time. And so, yeah, anyway, we got talking about a side project and he just said, let's put Podcast Generator out there on the cloud and let's see what happens. And it just kind of took off.
So knowing a thing or two about domain names, when did you acquire RSS.com? Were you the first to register?
No, I was not the first to register. I got RSS.com from Ron Sheridan back in 2013. And Ron, I don't know his middle name. Maybe he got it originally. I'm not sure. I think it was registered towards the late 90s, but or maybe it was early. I don't remember.
So you paid big money for it, or it was reasonable?
Yeah, it was not the cheapest thing I've ever done in my life.
I can imagine. I've traded a couple in and had some lawsuits over others.
Yeah, well, so you know that, you know, yeah. So I had to research the legalities pretty heavily before jumping in, but it was, it was serendipitous. I mean, I knew I wanted to put something on there that was an end use.
Because I think Weiner got $1 million for weblogs.com. Now, his timing was impeccable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be usually.
Yeah, that was very good. And I once got bud.com. For my client Budweiser. No, I didn't have it. My client was Budweiser, and we were putting them on the internet. We built all their websites, and he had this old geezer who was just a fan of the beer had Bud.com, and and so they called us and, you know, how do we get this from this guy? I said, well, let me talk to him. So I called him up and said, hey, man, you're putting this on the internet. He said, oh, that's so cool. So, you know, but, you know, Bud.com, you know, you of course have your rights, but man, they would really, really appreciate if we can come to some kind of understanding. It's like, well, can I get a case of long necks signed by August Bush III? I'm like, yeah, I think I can erase that for you.
Yeah, you took your marker out right there, went down to the corner store and signed him 5 cases, didn't you?
We actually had the fourth give him a call, too. You know, but the guy really didn't care. He was just like, I love the brand. I love it. And the idea that he got, you know, signed and talked to Woody, who was August Bush IV,
nice.
Was great. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun stuff that domain name is.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays they'll send you I can't remember, it's a UDERP or USERP or whatever, where if you're not, you know, commercially using it, they'll take you down and take your domain.
Oh, so, really? Who does this?
I mean, anybody can file with
if you're not using it. Oh, really?
Yeah, well, no, you can be using it, but then they can say, well, you're using it improperly. When you shouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And it's, my business was came before yours, and you're a squatter. And I mean, you've got to be really careful in this sort of
thing. I've had curry.com for 30 years almost. And I get offers all the time. Or no, I should say, I get people saying, hey, what do you want for it? Like, okay, delete. And from time to time, someone will say $50,000. I'm like, no, man.
Yeah,
that's
where I got lucky with Ron Sheridan. Is I reached out kind of like that, and he wrote me back. He's like, typically I wouldn't write anybody back because it's a bunch of idiots, but for some reason I wrote you, and I'm like, well,
nice.
Well, this means something. Yeah. Let's go, Ron. Let's get this done.
So you guys teamed up, and then, I mean, just tell me how it went from there. I mean, between then and now, 3-4 years, what's the path been for you guys?
Yeah. So, well, when we teamed up, we launched our MVP, which was Podcast Generator, with a payment layer on top, a payment processor. It was Stripe. And for the first, year and a half, we started growing. You know, at the beginning, it was just Ben and myself, and it was a side project. But then, so we launched in January 2018. And around summer, we got Brian helping us with marketing and especially with our blog to write original content to attract organically, you know, mm-hmm. possible users. And then mm-hmm. we got on board the first engineer, Davide, who started to help with both engineering and customer support.
Nice.
So, why do they need an engineer? They got you.
Yeah, what really? What's wrong with that shit?
No, that's great. So,
Alberto's, got a day job and plus. So this is like kind of been one of those things that we can get done on the weekends. But fortunately, he has so many contacts. Davide was, I think, in either his master's or his PhD program. They're good friends. And so they were able to work together.
How much of podcast generator code is still running RSS.com?
Today, zero. Huh? But until January 2020, last year, it was all podcast generator. So for two years...
Oh, wow. You did a big code revamp.
It was a monolith in digital ocean. And we started to have podcasters, at the beginning that grew. One of them was bought by Fox Sport, right? So when they would tweet, everything would go down, all systems down. So we started working on...
Right. Like the old days, man. Perfect.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Then we launched a great platform, AWS. We really worked on microservices. Now we are very proud of the tech we have. So now we are very happy with what.
Are you concerned at all? Just hearing that you rely at least partially on AWS. That if there's someone who has some content that's flowing through your pipes that they don't like, and they get someone gets all huffy. I mean, dealing with that. Have you seen any cancel culture? Anyone coming to you and saying you got to do something?
No, I mean, not on the U.S. side anyway. We not frequently, but occasionally we'll handle a customer support request come in to take down somebody. And, I think I side with most podcast hosting companies. It's just not a place we want to wade into. So AWS, we think they've got a great product, and that's what it is. It's a product, and we want to, offer our customers the greatest content distribution that we can. And so, yeah, AWS is going to be who we're with, but I don't think they want to, wade into the weeds on this sort of stuff.
Well, I can only say from experience, they do have a system, because I got a notification once because of just its index page for No Agenda's archive. And someone issued that sent whatever process there is at Amazon somehow. I got an automatic email that said, okay, this is hosting racist content. And what do you say?
No, it was COVID health misinformation.
Oh, no, COVID health misinformation. Thank you for correcting me. Yeah, which is also racist, believe me. Yeah. And so I just replied saying, oh, this is just a list of links to individual shows, so I don't know what you're talking about. And then it was like, thank you for satisfying our request.
Usually it's just people trying to check the boxes, because of whatever sort of protocols that they've put in place.
I love reporting. I'm the admin for noagendasocial.com. And here's what people will report, because I look at the reports. So they'll see something on the public federated timeline, which is like sticking your head in a sewer, in a sewage river that is just scrolling by. So, okay, you're there, right? I know you're there. And then they'll see something which is, really rank, some whatever porn picture it is, but it's always obfuscated. This is what I like about Mastodon, is by default, you can just have all of your porn pictures fuzzed out. So in order to see what's in the picture, you have to actively click on it. So, people who actively click on it and then go, oh, no, and report it. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Don't click on it. So weird. Was it the wrong porn? Maybe that's why they're reporting it. I'm disgusted. Oh, yeah. I expected something else. It's misinformation. Anyway.
They expected Pinocchio.
Yeah. Pinocchio. Yeah. We want that Pinocchio movie.
They read your dissertation. They're looking for your dissertation.
So you guys now are, we were talking before the show and you mentioned that you're up to like 12 employees. And I said, oh, well, that's a magic number. Because when you have 12, you might as well have 20. And so, what are your plans? I mean, are you just going to keep growing organically? Are you thinking of, I don't know, where are you at? Because the space is not big, but you know, there's definitely competitors and maybe people on the prowl.
Yeah, we are definitely growing. We're growing a lot. But at the same time, we live in a great time in human history where technology can help keep our headcount down, should you say. So,
yeah.
I mean, the scale is very manageable. We Alberto and I both have experience in managing large teams, and this is not something that we want to. I mean, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Seriously.
So there has to be super compelling reason to you know, increase the size of the team, and so we're extremely selective, and thankfully we can be because we can, you know, project our growth, and we know exactly what we need based on our product roadmap. And so far, so good. So yeah, hopefully we don't grow headcount, but we're definitely growing in all the other respects.
Cool.
Well, I mean, with product roadmap, does the product roadmap include, tell me it includes the podcast namespace.
Hold on a second. Hold on. There we go.
Now it's time for some hot namespace.
Oh, I was waiting for you to rip the clothes off of her, Dave. Dave, thank you so much. It's exactly what we need is some hot namespace talk, because these guys, I don't think they're in our cubbyhole, so to speak, just yet.
No. So we do include the namespace, and we already have implemented and rolled out the locked tag.
Bingo. There it is. Okay.
I was waiting for the bell.
Hold on. Let's just do it one more time and just make sure
and
we feel
it. Now it's time for some hot namespace.
Yeah, he's a dominatrix. He's got us locked up with his lock tag.
We're also sending all our shows to Podcast Index, I think, from the week after.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. You're updating. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, and, yes, and we're going to roll out. Oh, thank you for creating Podcast Index, of course. And we are also rolling out all the next, tags in the ones that were approved in phase one in the next couple of weeks.
Oh,
they're already in our staging environment. We are running QA cycles.
Hey, if anyone appreciates that this is not a small undertaking, it's Dave Jones. And I've been around enough to know. So that's really cool. I'm very happy to hear that. That's very nice. And I'm so happy that you're doing the implementation. And as pleased as I am that Libsyn has opened something up to allow people to do stuff, and I'm not quite sure, I haven't investigated myself yet. The actual implementation of the tags into the UI for your customers is really appreciated.
Exactly. You know what the challenge is there? Was, as you say, UI and UX.
Yep.
Now, because we attract most of our users organically, we don't spend much in marketing. We attract people who are starting podcasting. So, and we run a lot of surveys with our users. For example, the last one was a Net Promoter Score survey. And we got 1,200 replies. We got a great NPS. And also, we got a word cloud through Hotjar about what they said, right?
Yeah.
And everyone is saying easy, simple. So that's our trademark, if you want. Mm-hmm. So our problem with all these tags was how can
you keep it easy and simple.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So we will show it very soon, but we have a way to fade in and fade out tags and create an advanced mode and a simple mode.
Oh,
so that's the
advanced mode. All right.
Yeah, it's not called advanced mode.
Turn the remote control over, Granny.
Although we probably won't name it advanced because it's scare people.
Advanced mode is also known as normal mode.
Right.
Yeah.
Advanced is the new normal. But we are going to change the name, but we are going to find a way so that we introduce slowly to new podcasters all these options. Otherwise, they get overwhelmed. So that's the result of our US research.
Yeah, this Tom Rossi at Buzzsprout told me. He said if you put a box on your UI, somebody's going to stick something in it. So you got to be really careful.
hey, I can paste something in here.
Yeah. He's like, you got to be real careful when you put a box up there.
Yeah. I always paste JSON. Just throw it in there everywhere I can. Eat my JSON. Aggregator.
On the phase two stuff that's with podcasts, see person and location. I mean, that'll be sort of finalized and closed on the 31st, so a couple of days from now. Like, what do y'all I'm guessing y'all are going to look at those tags.
Phase one first.
Yeah, and the person or location, what do y'all think about those?
Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that get me super excited, the phase two stuff. We talk about that all the time. You know, we even at one point had an intern that was a tour guide in Madrid, Spain. And I just keep, you know, telling Alberto, like, we need to build what Dave and Adam are building and the other guys so that she can like podcast her. She doesn't have to tour guide anymore. She just builds a tour guide podcast. So these things are cool.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, but even I see it so clearly in my head, and it goes back to what, you know, to your history, Alberto. Is I've always wanted a lecturer, a professor, to say, shit, I've got a great course here. I want to put it up and then be able to clickety, clickety, clack, upload, done, and immediately turn around and it's available on a whole plethora of apps with all kinds of options. And at the same time, I think, you know, a different UX, if you will, needs to be created for people who have different needs. Like, you know, when I hear a location podcast, man, I can envision a completely different type of app that handles that in a certain way. I mean, you know, why wouldn't a map be the main feature of the main page? You know, as you hear the audio, the map moves. I mean, there's a million things I can come up with.
I fully agree. And actually, the main challenge in implementing podcast index namespace is just the UX, in our opinion.
Yeah, that's it. Of course.
So yeah, and so also, for example, other feature like imaging donation through Lightning Network, right? Great idea, but it's not as simple as having, for example, Stripe. So ideally, the user doesn't want any friction. They would like to just add their credit card once and just click, and then donations are, you know, sent automatically every X minutes. Mm-hmm. That's the UX layer that we have to fine tune.
Yeah.
As a, you know, in the field.
No, I understand. And I think that is and I love the way you're talking about it because the approach is correct, in my opinion. A lot of hosting companies have been the tool, and we've had a tool, and the tool worked pretty much the same way for years. The only additional tool we had was some authoring tools, for chapters in the file, and that's about it. So now everyone is, and I understand, you know, it's like, oh, now you're tasked with, it's not a matter of adding some tags. You have that's to easy. Actually invent a tool, because yes, it is UX, and it's not just a tag. It's like, okay, how do I get someone, if they want to make chapters, what is that experience like? And shit, yeah, that's hard. That's really hard. No one's done it. No one has thought about it. And I love that you guys are going through that process in a structured way. It sounds right.
Yeah, and there is a topic here, for example, the hosting itself. So we don't like to be labeled necessarily as a hosting company because we actually offer a tool. I think you spoke perhaps the last episode about the EPFS, right? What happens if
IPFS,
we start to host there?
Yeah, I was going to bring that to you next.
Okay, so that's the point, right? So I thought about that when I was listening to the episode. I was speaking with Ben and we said, if this happened, we would leverage IPFS. We would save a lot of money in bandwidth for AWS, right?
That's right.
Because we, absolutely. What we, our value is in the tool, and thank that's why we want you. To keep it simple. And so, hosting podcast hosting, it's not necessarily the best description of what we feel we are offering to our users.
Give me a description. I'd love to use a different word.
Oh man, we'll pay you for that word.
Okay.
I prefer content platform. You know, it's content distribution. It's and that content. So you want to cover the entire supply user chain. Hosting is just a small part of that. But then you have to upload. You have to distribute.
Yep.
And that's the whole point. That's what we think.
Yeah,
it's really a podcast design tool or designer suite.
Creation.
True.
Yeah. Oh, I hate the word creation. By the way, why am I being okay? You know what? I will work on that. And if I come up with something, I will of course pass it on to you. And sometimes come up with stuff. I mean, we got marketers in this house.
Nice. That's
good. At the same time, how can we work together to make your bandwidth go away? And how can we push IPFS? What pieces do we need to put in place to make this work? And I And I'm really stepping out because this is where the namespace gets sizzling hot, because we have disagreements over how to do this.
Yeah.
It's a complex question.
All right. So what we're talking about is an alternative enclosure in essence.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the point. Like perhaps a gradual shift would be the best option. So you have an alternate enclosure. So people wanted to use or leveraging IPFS, even clients, right, that use that would go through that, you know, that file system. And the others would just go through a normal CDN. That would be my guess.
And that's the way I keep suggesting it. But no one loves me. No one picks up on it. They're like, man, okay, shut up, non-developer. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I mean it's not so easy to plug into IPFS. Meaning there are a lot of pieces that have to fall into place.
Right. I'm just talking about purely about where do you put this? How do you alert the aggregator that there's an option? And I think what you said is make it initially a separate tag in the namespace, but that I can't get anyone to agree with me on that except you.
Or one tag, the enclosure tag, with another attribute, which is IPFS. Like, would be also that choice.
Yeah, I think that's the argument. And I don't know what it is. I think people are worried that X amount of apps will not be able to understand it, or aggregators will puke over it. I'm not sure. Well, Dave, weigh in here.
Well, I think when you...
I'm swimming. I'm drowning.
Yeah. I think what happens when you with this kind of stuff is there's always a couple of things that have... You don't want to be tied to one specific protocol. And so everybody immediately, when you bring up, okay, let's do IPFS, it's like, yeah, but we need to generalize this tag to where it's not just IPFS specific, because what if we want to distribute it over some other DHT? And so... Like then you get into this sort of back and forth debate about how much to generalize it, because 20 years from now, if IPFS was superseded by some other thing, you don't want some legacy, you know, thing just hanging around this that was too specific. So that seems like the argument that you always get into. But I'm not so sympathetic to that, but you got to plant your flag somewhere. I mean, RSS podcasting wouldn't exist without Weiner planting the flag and saying, okay,
yeah,
an enclosure has to be HTTP.
Yeah. Well, you need someone to go Leroy Jenkins on it.
Like, yeah, exactly. Let's just do it. You know, I mean, because we can spend a lot of time saying, well, we need to make the value tag support Lightning, Hive, web monetization, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sympathetic to some of that. And I want those things to happen, but I don't want it to hold back things to hold back the progress forward.
Well, you're the man. You're the man with the keys in my mind. It's my mission to convince you, and I have not done that yet. So I don't know if you're waiting
for the IPFS stuff.
No, just for alternative. You know, because another part of that conversation is, well, we want to be able to do lower resolution for people who live in Zimbabwe, and which is completely true. I've done that. You know, we want torrents. I get it all. So we just have to figure out what will work. And of course I agree that in 20 years, if it's Hive, then it should be working with Hive.
Yeah.
You know, that's an obvious one, but to me, it just feels like throw it in a namespace. And, you know, if you've got an alternative, to me, it's an alternative right now. And IPFS, here's how you address that. And it's torrent. Here's how you address that. I mean,
well, I don't think we need to be afraid to, I think the sort of the baseline on that is we don't need to be afraid to put things in there that may ultimately fail. Because, I mean, there's things in the original RSS spec that aren't used anymore.
Yeah, of course. Stuff that is misnomers, absolutely. So yeah. can we create, with a number of the RSS platform tool creation hosting companies, can we create a consortium of sorts, where we're all hosting gateways and maybe pinning stuff? I mean, Ben, is there any crossover talk or any real communication with your frenemies?
Yeah. Well, so I would call them friends.
Yeah.
Possibly. So there was the first ever podcast convention I went to was right before COVID hit, and I met Todd from Blueberry there. And I got talking with him and was super like, I'm almost relieved that, I mean, he's an open guy. I listen to his podcast now. I love kind of learning from him, who's been in the space for so long, and the others. I try to listen to as much as I can. That said, you know, as I introduced myself and talked to him, he said, "Oh man, you should have been at the RSS coalition meeting we had before kickoff this morning.
They had great food."
Yeah, the shrimp was delicious. But that said, like, you know, there's constantly a demand or desire to get everybody involved, but it's extremely difficult because we're fragmented through so many ways. I mean, location, nobody's in Silicon Valley that I'm aware of. You know, so creating a network, the network effect is basically going to revolve around, you know, a Slack channel like it was for RSS Coalition. But then there's no real drivers. There's no.
No. So how about this? Because it seems to me, and I'm glad you said friends, it seems to me that, and maybe we kick this off, I don't know, and we can certainly help. If all of the similar companies, or at least enough of them, all collaborate on an IPFS gateway, so you're also pinning and hosting for your colleagues, I think you could all like raise your bottom line by maybe 20%, maybe more.
Yeah, we could host right?
Yeah, and we can host some of. We can have a node. We'll do a. I mean, Dave seems to be able to run like fucking Google on $300 a month. I don't know how he does it, but Dave's got all this wacky shit, and it's like, oh look, it costs $6 for what? No, for everything. So there's definitely, and I'm, you know, you guys are in the bandwidth game, so you understand it. But if we kick that off, I mean, would you be interested in trying to figure this out? Because it's the. And I understand namespaces, all this stuff is slow. All of it's slow. But even just getting it started takes, you know, a couple people, you know. And I think we can help, you know, the first person to jump in. We'll pin everything. We'll do whatever we can.
Yeah. I mean, before we get into the specifics there, let me just take the moment to just say thanks for jumping in. Like, you guys, you know, I was getting a little frustrated with what I was reading on the RSS Coalition about, you know, how we could improve the namespace, but there was just never really any movement. And I just watched it start to die before me. And I had so much hope. And I'm sure everybody in there too felt like, you know, oh no, this is happening again. We're not getting anywhere. And I talked with James Cridlin the first time I ever talked to him. I'm like, James, this is not going to work out. Like, what can we do? And he said, oh, just wait till I do this, this release on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was. And you're gonna see that there's this podcast index thing. Well, he didn't even name it. He didn't name it. He was under embargo, but he's like, you'll be surprised.
Embargo?
You'll be embargo.
Did we ever embargo anyone, Dave?
Well, yeah, I told him to shut the hell up.
No, that was last week. No.
He was definitely not wanting to trump the news, basically. Oh, okay. So,
all right.
That's cool. And so we waited, and I mean, we were like your first fans just because we knew what we were looking at, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys have supported us in ungodly ways.
Yes,
I mean,
well,
really, whatever value you got, yeah, you have returned. So we appreciate it. This is the mutual love society here.
We're happy to do it because Alberto and I sat around talking for at least 2 weeks. Like, how can we improve? I mean, and I know Todd had that same conversation 8 years before us. I mean, it was just a continual problem. And so we're happy to support financially just because we know the amount of work that you saved us. Like, it literally, we were just staring down the barrel of a just.
Now, was that for the search and the index part? That's really where we were able to help you guys?
No, I mean, just in the namespace, like how it's like got new life in it. I mean, it's been resurrected almost. We were looking at, you know, what was, you know, RSS feeds used to be in Facebook, for instance. They're no longer there. As I was looking at the silos that were happening with Spotify kind of gobbling things up and then killing off an RSS feed, like, I could just see the writing on the wall. Like, this is going to happen the same way it's happened to all these other things. You no longer have RSS access. You have to go get API keys. And then that's the keys to the kingdom. They can kick anybody out. Like, it was just going to be a restriction.
On that note, Dave.
Yes.
API keys. Quick mention.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's
your idea. You're going to open it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got some more thinking to do on this, but
Yeah, I think, you know, we had talked before.
I love it when I hijack your brain.
Yeah, I'm sitting here staring at my dog trying to do something horrible. But
remember, so he's only doing it because he can, Dave.
He tries to screw me at every turn. The original idea was to go in the other direction. So if we would say put the value stuff into a higher key permission level, but then we started thinking, you know, this would suit. It makes more sense going the other direction. So then we put the value responses, value tag responses, keep those in the API, just like everything, just like it is right now, but then open the API to where anybody can query it without API keys.
And for the very reason you just mentioned, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah. If we do it that way, then we're a direct, what would you call it? We're a direct alternative to an iTunes lookup.
Yeah.
Because they don't require API keys, and we get the benefit of being able to cache the heck out of everything with Cloudflare. So then we can, because what the problem is now with caching is that if you have a rotating API access hash in your header, everything has to come through and hit the hardware. So if we open everything up and just remove the API requirement altogether for certain, you know, limited things like just being able to find the URL. That's if we just open everything where anybody can get what is also in the feed, then that sort of solves a lot of problems, makes it more widely available. And I think that's definitely what we're going to do here in the next few weeks. Open is always better.
Perhaps the challenge there is that if you have a public endpoint, you need to implement some logic. If you have an API key, you can just block it easily, and you have access control. But imagine you have a peak of users. It can be also some scraping engine. It's harder. You need to add
IP logic. If someone is scraping, then could you please just go download it from us? We make it available, the whole thing. No need to scrape.
Yeah, see, that's what we've tried to avoid by doing a public feed dump onto archive.org. Is like dumping our whole DB. Or not the whole one, but the feeds table, because most people scrape in order to get the feed URLs. Mm-hmm. And so we've dumped everything publicly, all the feed URLs, so that if somebody starts scraping, we just say, stop doing that. Just go download the CSV file. It's all there.
It works amazingly well. I'm so surprised and delighted by how courteous everyone is, how, you know, people ask before they start hitting before they start hitting the endpoint at all. You know, hey, I'm doing this. Is this okay? I mean, it's been really delightful.
Yeah, but you're right, though, Alberto. We are going to need some logic there. And that's what I'm thinking through before we pull the trigger, is trying to make sure that we can defend ourselves properly if somebody starts getting some shenanigans.
It could be great if you could send a 501 or 50500 response saying, go download the whole dump of the feed.
Like, give them a link.
Yeah, in the 500.
Yes, in the 500, yeah, right?
Why not?
Yeah, that's a great idea. And so it's a little bit more complicated rate limiting behind Cloudflare. So Cloudflare allows you to rate limit in their system, but it costs you money. And it's one of those AWS type money costs where you don't know in advance what it's going to cost you. Because it's like, okay, you can rate limit, but every time the rate limit kicks in, it's going to cost you this many cents, fractions of a cent per request. And it's like,
You're going to put a debit card there. A debit card with $1,000 limit.
Right.
Yeah, right.
It's the only way to go. Yeah.
And so but then if you're trying to rate limit on that backside of Cloudflare, you only get the source IP, the true source IP address in a header. And so I've got to put that into some Nginx voodoo so that we can actually have some sort of defense there for exactly the reason you mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was hot.
No, probably. Now that everybody's gone.
Now that we're all alone, just the four of us.
Let's start crumpling paper.
Yes, that's right. Dave, and I'll start it off by saying this is a value for value project, the entire podcastindex.org, which includes your developer site. And we also have podcastindex.social. And we gladly highlight all of the people who are working with us at our new podcastapps.com or podcastindex.org/apps. And if you go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom, if you scroll down, you'll see a big red donate button, also a QR code to send us some Bitcoin through Lightning or set up a little subscription. That's all we ask for is if you're getting value out of it, then just return it one way or the other with your time, your talent, or your treasure. And again, big thanks to Alberto and Ben who have supported the project financially more than anybody. It's really, really appreciated. But it's all every number. Whatever the value is, it's your number. It's your value. So who do we thank today, Dave?
The number for Thomas Carson was $10 a month subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas.
There's no note.
Yeah, right. And you can write notes. We love reading the notes. You just put that in your transaction there.
Yeah, and that. Let's see. I still don't have. I'm gonna do the repo, and we're gonna put monthly supporters in the GitHub repo.
Yeah. So we can do pull requests.
Yeah.
Donate through a pull request, please.
Yes. See, we got 1111. Says, hey guys, keep this anonymous. A small contribution for those doing the work as podcasting builds back better. Can I get some R2-D2 karma, please?
Oh, crap. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, hold
no, on a second. Go do your search.
Yeah, I got R2-D2 karma. Of course I do.
You've got karma.
Alrighty then.
Let's see. What we got? We got 1111 last time, and this is 2222.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Let's see. From John Lips, preserving podcasting. Oh, here we go. Preservingpodcasting.com is forwarding to show my support.
Ooh, that's cool. Hold on, let me put that.
What's
in
it forward here. To? Is it just forward to the
to us? Probably. Let me see. Preservingpodcasting.com. Let me just double check. Hold on a second. I love domain names. Perverting podcasting. Hold on a second.
Perverting. Yeah, that goes somewhere else.
It doesn't seem to be.
That goes to Anchor.
Preserving podcasting. No, it doesn't go anywhere yet. Maybe it hasn't worked it out yet. Okay.
Okay. Let's see.
But thank
the,
you.
Preserving podcasting.com.
Oh, you sent me down the wrong hole here, man. Hold on.
I was thinking pervertingpodcasting.com.
Yeah, it's better. We should probably get that. Preserve
we'll have to
podcasting
ask Spotify for it.
Yes, reservepodcasting.com goes straight to Podcast Index. Beautiful.
The waves in the proverbial internet pond have people sitting up and paying attention. Podcasting 2.0 is a beacon of hope that is sorely needed for these dark days of winter.
Oh,
you made fun of the way I read things earlier. I'm self-conscious.
Oh, I did not.
I'm so self-conscious. I can't.
You're a pro.
You're inhibiting me.
Yes, that's right.
That's it. That's our group, man. Sad puppy.
And thank you, Dreb Scott, for popping that up just in time as I view it here on my Podverse 3.0 beta. I saw it.
I fully expect sex robots at some point in the image chapter art, Dreb.
Oh, hell yeah. And know that just by participating in our grand value for value scheme with podcasting, you are actually also supporting Dreb Scott. What did you put him in for? 5% on the cut?
Yeah, 5%.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he's a man who's getting paid.
That's right. I mean, don't spend it all in one place, Dreb.
Don't spend all 75 cents of that at once.
What, you're doing it on an annual basis? Oh, okay.
An annual basis.
Somehow it is so exciting. You know, you see the Satoshis coming in or even going out, and it's an exciting feeling. And I know you guys are talking about it, Ben and Alberto, and I know that you know, we have a long way to go before we're ready for you, most likely. But it seems like... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Adam, you know, with RSS in particular, kind of as the big thing, but even on the little stuff, like you're connecting the virtue cycle, the cycle of, you know, value for value. And it's something that RSS needs, like in the, like as a protocol, you know, that's where it was lacking. It's just, you know, the steward to kind of take it to the next level. And I just want to say thanks for that. Like, but even on the small, like macro or micro scale with each podcast, like, you know, connecting all the players, kicking out the ones that don't need to be there, that are just kind of leeching, you know, on the transaction, so to speak. Those are, you know, that's super valuable. And I think it's going to help podcasting in general, you know, as new people get in, and they're not going to get, you know, advertising sponsors probably. And especially if they have, they have content that advertisers don't want to put anything with, but if there's a message that resonates with anybody, they can see the value returned. And so I think it's just, I just want to say thanks for what you're doing, because it's sorely, sorely needed. And this isn't the only industry where it's needed, but and it's you and it's everybody on the Mastodon. I mean, there's so many people involved, you know, you're help leading the charge, and, you know, we're grateful.
Well, thank you. And back at you. And our mission is really to make it as easy as possible for you to integrate. I mean, I envision you've got your customer who likes simple and easy, and all they have is, you know, they just have their wallet baked right into to your system in their control panel. They see that they can send it, you know, to their Venmo, or, you know, put it into dollars any way they want. And it should just have a ticker. And then, of course, you could do all, you can add all kinds of stuff to your statistics. But that seems like such a logical fit. And, you know, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, we're going to have a discussion about.
Yes. Promote this.
Tuesday, yeah, on Tuesday of next week. So this is all Central Time, my time. Tuesday of next week at noon.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a just a Q&A type thing, and it's just about LN Pay, because LN Pay is probably the way that most people at this moment will need to integrate Lightning into their apps.
And so it's on my calendar, believe it or not. I won't add anything valuable to the discussion, but
no, but I think it will be valuable to see, because it, you know, like for you guys, it's, you know, Lightning is a difficult thing, and it's difficult by necessity, because it's, you know, it involves multi-layered money handling. And so if you, What the difficulty of Lightning comes in is having to open channels, keep them funded, you know, spin up a node. There's a lot of complexity.
Peering, routing, fees.
All that. And so, and all that stuff can bite you in the butt. And so, what Guillermo said on the Mastodon is he communicated with Tim, and I didn't know this. I thought Tim was still working on inbound key send.
No, I guess he's already got it working.
Evidently. And so, like, the way that it looks to me is that a host like RSS.com
could replicate an LN Pay system.
Yeah, basically call the LN Pay API, spin up a wallet, and it has inbound key send, and you don't have to worry about the liquidity and all that kind of stuff.
Your reporting is almost built in all web API. It's all there.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty, that could be really strong, because that means you could put in, you could spin up a wallet and put that information directly in the feed, and then not have to host any of that jazz yourself. But the cool thing, though, is I think once we, this is sort of going to be like a, you know, Vulcan mind meld on Tuesday, to where we try to, anybody has, you know, questions and information and all that kind of stuff, we can just brain share this stuff. But then if over the next time, you know, whatever time period this is, if we can figure out how all this stuff works and figure out that it's solid and prove it out, then that could be a real option for hosting companies to be able to integrate Lightning without having all the complexity of having to go learn Lightning. It's possible.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be great if you guys could make it, or all of the RSS tool and die companies can, if everyone can join in, because, oh yeah, and you should probably make it, say up front, Dave, now I'm thinking about it, say this will be recorded.
And
record it so the comic strip blogger knows it's being recorded. And if he doesn't want to be on it, then no, I'm sensitive to people's privacy. Yeah. So it's never a problem. You just got to say it. And if someone doesn't want, then they can take their own action. I'd like to see more of that because there will be other players. I hope Graham's going to join from Voltage. Because what we're kind of starting to get good at is kind of orchestrating a little bit. It's like, okay, we've got him over here and can you talk to him? And, it's like, whoosh, whoosh, and then we have some API stuff and some glue and the collaboration is really beautiful to watch. So we'd love as much as we can get. It's much, much collaboration one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, we love watching it too. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, Dave. Didn't mean to speak over you there.
No, you're fine. No, I got high hopes for it. I think the LNP model is the way forward. I really do, because there's just otherwise the complexity is just a little too much to overcome.
I
agree with you. And it was another one of those fortuitous things that we bumped into Tim. It's just like, okay, this is, and it wasn't his first words like, I've been waiting for business people to show up. He's like, I've been sitting around with this thing for a year. Like no one's doing anything with it.
We were like, how do you monetize? And he's like, I don't know how. I don't know what to do,
And well, we basically, if it all works out, we've given him a way to monetize, which is the same for the app developers.
Let me ask you this, Ben, what do y'all, this has been in the back of my mind too, at least. So I, in the industry that I'm in, for my day job, the software vendors that we have almost all of them have sort of an early adopter beta type, program that you can get in where you say, our company is sort of a bleeding edge company and we want to test all the new software. We know there's going to be bugs. We know it's going to screw things up. But we want to have the newest and we want to test the new stuff before it's ready. But I don't see any podcast hosting companies that offer that type of thing where it's like, okay, you have a beta group who are the bleeding edge guys. They're like, we want the new stuff. We want the new features before anybody else gets it. And we're willing for our stuff to break. Is that a possibility to have something like that where you could test this stuff?
Yeah, we could sandbox maybe a little bit. What we've done in practice in the past is just rolled something out and called it a beta and let it get beat up by our users. And that's how we have really kind of optimized the easy and simple aspects of things. But for the more sophisticated things, Alberto, let me have you answer on that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only issue, at least for us, is human bandwidth, right? It's just, we have 12 people in the team, 3 engineers. I don't know, just in 2020, we had over 1,200 improvements, bug fixes, and also we rolled out new features. But if we start to have features flag, beta testing, we need to really increase the team size. And this also implies creating new processes, right? We were talking about that at the beginning. So 12 people is a good number, but if we double the team, then we are going to go slow for a while. So it's just a matter of human resources at the moment for us. We would love to start to have a beta program with new features just for a few selected.
I really like how you approach that. That's the best approach I've heard. I'm sure other people do this, but just you're verbalizing it beautifully and totally on board. Understand it, get it, and I know you're going to get there in your own time, and it'll be right.
Yeah, he's got a lot of practice on me. I sit there and say, "Let's do this."
Right, it's like Adam and Dave. I know it. I can tell the dynamics. I know exactly.
Yeah.
Look, today we had a call before our conversation, and Ben told me, "Oh, I love the new player of the new podcast." Users page, I love it. It's new. We have to roll it out in the next couple of weeks. He told me, "Can we show chapter from podcast index?" I said, "We don't have them yet." It's always like that.
Yeah.
Go faster. Go faster.
That's right.
Alberto's, he really is. He's world class in so many things, and one of them is just managing expectations and setting a proper speed. max speed is what it is. It's not, you know, fantasy speed. So
yeah, I think that in the IT, in the IT world, I mean, like programming, ops, all of the IT in general, there is a severe lack of soft skills. There yeah. always has been. Yeah. And if you, I mean, if you have, it's not enough. If you want to be successful in IT, it is not enough to just have a bunch of tech chops. You have to have you have to have some chops, but the soft skills are way more important. That's where you can actually make something technological make sense and work for people in the real world. It's, yeah. it's always been a problem.
Wouldn't agree more.
Well, gentlemen, go ahead.
No, I said, Dave should have said, does that make sense? I was expecting
All right. It takes a foreigner to put you in your place. Now I know how it works.
Yeah. You got to start speaking Dutch to me. No, shut up.
Alberto and Ben, thank you both so much for joining us today, and I wish you a lot of success. You're at a magical moment, not only in podcasting, I think, but certainly in your own company's growth and development. And congratulations. Whenever I see any kind of entrepreneur succeeding, it's beautiful. Really, really, really love seeing that. And you know, whatever you guys need, we're just a hop away.
Yeah. Well, likewise. I mean, we feel a kinship to a lot of the things that you guys are pushing forward. So we definitely feel like we need to amplify all of those things.
Very cool.
Dave, thank you so much.
Awesome. Oh, no, you're more than welcome. Dave, anything for you for the round table?
I'm about to get a cup of coffee. I'm about to go with coffee number 5 for the day. I'm getting ready for part
two. Put you to sleep, man.
Yeah. No. I'm fired up. I mean, so it's reverse. It's the ADD. It's the ADHD, man. I got to calm it down.
All right, everybody. We will be back next week with another meeting of the board of directors. And we'll do it right here on Podcasting 2.0. See you then.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Podcasts are cool.